We're on the fly at the seaplane base, and what a spectacular day on the water at an air show.
Right.
Shane Albers, the chairman of the seaplane base, co-hosting with me today. And we saved the meat and potatoes for last.
Right.
Because the meat and potatoes are always so good. Don Smith is the co-chairman of Water and Communications Operations. Why did you introduce him to us, Shane, and say some of your magical words?
Some of the magic, huh? Yeah, so Don is, he'll let you know too, but he's a seaplane pilot. He's been a longtime volunteer of ours. Don's a really critical piece. So we have two people out on our point operations, and Don is a very critical piece to help keep all of the communications and operations running smoothly without conflict and incident.
Well, and it's great. Don Smith, welcome back to EA Radio. It's been a couple of years.
But it's been a couple of years.
But I know that from your perspective, not a ton has changed out here. But our listeners, a lot of them may be new, a lot of them may not know what goes the specific. And pilots are always curious about the nuts and bolts, how things actually work, you know. And that's what you do here. And to run that type of operation, you need a lot of experience. How long have you been at the base, Don?
So I've been flying for well over 25 years. I started volunteering in 07 after I saw Mark Baker in 2006 flying with his caravan. I said, wow, that's pretty cool.
Did you go out and buy a caravan?
No, I bought a Husky. It's a two-place. He had like 10 seats in his. But flew in 08, and I had a bunch of friends waiting for me on the dock. It was the coolest thing. Felt like I was coming back to see family. And I started volunteering the very next year, started, you know, tying knots in the dock and working in first aid, and just more and more doing operations around here and flying and being a pilot. You know, next thing you know, they've got me in the our traffic control center. It's pretty cool.
I see you're in a pink shirt.
Yeah, it really doesn't
it's
say
very
tower.
Classic
it says
air
point
traffic
on
control.
It. We're actually making fun of the guys at the tower, the world's busiest tower. Because they stand pretty tall and look pretty sure of themselves, and we're giving them a little bit back.
Yeah, well, I saw some of them over here today, and they were chuckling at your pink shirts.
Yeah, it started out as kind of a joke, and we use pink on the point anyway, so people know, you know, who they're talking to. And one of my volunteers out on the point decided to take a little step further. They think it's funny. At least we think it's funny.
Well, anyway, that's all that matters.
And the shirt says, what, Lagoon Traffic Control.
Lagoon Traffic Control.
That's literally what it is. We don't tell people that they can land or take off. You know, all we care about is the traffic control on the water.
So let's talk about it, Don. So someone's going to fly into Oshkosh. The first thing they're going to do is read the NOTAM.
Yes.
Which is not called the NOTAM anymore. Now it's called the
Air Mission.
The Air
Notice to Air Mission.
Notice to Air Missions. EAA has changed completely the name of the document now.
Yes.
I don't know if it's called the notice or something, but anyway, they're going to read that because you have to familiarize yourself with
page 18, page 19.
Operations. So page 18, 19 will tell you that you're going to come out here and land. Are there times when they cannot land here?
So during the main air show, there's going to be a TFR in place. And one of my friends told me we're not supposed to fly during the TFR.
No.
And so people arrive well before the show. And if they want to depart, they take off after the show. It's really quite easy. It's actually extremely easy to come and go from the seaplane base. You know, all you have to do is get permission to leave the lagoon. And that's just to make sure the two planes don't end up head-to-head.
Because it's not very wide.
Yeah, the opening is only wide enough for one plane, which, by the way, protects us from waves like Winnebago. And we're protected from the wind. It's a very safe place to harbor. You know, we're tied up to mooring balls out in the lagoon. And you come to a dock, you get set up to go, you get permission to start, which means that opening is clear. And once you have opening to start, you can go right through the cut out into the bay and take off and go flying. And it's pretty easy to fly every day while you're here, which is a lot harder if you've got a tent under your wing and people all over the place, like on the main field.
Well, sure. Sure. So they land out here per the notice, and they get permission after then. They contact 123.3,
yes,
which glider pilots have been saying is a very recognizable frequency.
It's an air frequency, yep.
And then you actually welcome them to Oshkosh, to the sea base, and what do you do from there?
Yeah, so like 123.3 is actually, we use it as a common traffic advisory frequency, a CTAF. You know, so we encourage everyone to self-announce their position and their intentions. That lets everybody else know. The only thing we add is we talk about water conditions. You know, any other traffic we see that they don't. There's a lot of boats out there. For some reason, everyone likes to fish in our little bay. But we try to let them know of things they may not see if they're still like 5 miles away. Because normally you self-announce about 12 miles out. So we just keep in the loop of any known traffic we have. But besides that, as far as they're in the air, it's a common traffic advisory frequency, just like a small uncontrolled airport.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, go ahead.
And beyond that, really the only thing we control is the stuff already on the water, people that have already landed. There's nothing in the air. You know, and basically it's permission to enter the lagoon or permission to leave the lagoon.
And then you're also going to give them their dock assignment that you get
exactly
on your radio from operations, which, by the way, you're not dock operations, but you are water and communications.
Right,
so,
right.
So
our point operates with three radios. One's marine band. It's always on channel 16, so we can hear the Coast Guard. We operate on 123.3. One of my guys will be talking to the airside. And then the other one works with the dock radio, and he's talking to docks. So when we give a plane permission to enter the lagoon, they're almost always heading to a dock, and we use that dock radio to make sure we've got a crew waiting to receive them. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So we're working with three radios.
And that's a new protocol that we put in place about 6 years ago, because all the operations used to go on 123.3, and it was just too much chatter, too much communication. So that was we wanted to get that cleaned up so that the experience coming into the seaplane base, it is one person at the point talking to the pilots out there on the water.
Yeah, if you're flying VFR and you're out by Warbird Island south of here, you want to hear about the other planes. You don't want to hear about boats here or boats there. And you don't need that until you get to the bay. But if you're looking for other traffic to see and avoid, kind of nice to have a little quieter frequency and be able to talk to those other planes.
Right. Let's talk a little bit. You're an experienced seaplane pilot. You have a couple of seaplanes, don't you?
Yeah, I've had two Huskies, and I've got a Boss 182. Whip Air has the conversion to put a big engine in a standard Cessna 182. It's a beautiful plane. My wife and I go camping in it frequently. You know, I live on a lake in Michigan. You know, I can literally, before I came here, I pumped my floats, make sure I was good and clean, hopped in the plane, and came here.
So over at the main field, people are worried about wind conditions relative to the direction of the runway, especially tailwheel pilots maybe. But you know what? You don't have that issue at the seaplane base. Tell us about some of the things that a seaplane pilot would be concerned about flying in here.
So in most lakes, you don't have to worry too much. If the winds are low, let's call it 6 knots or less, you really don't need to think about water conditions. The only problem with Lake Winnebago is our main bay points right exactly like north-northeast out to like 010020. And even with calm winds, like let's call it 5 knots, you can get a small ripple starting, you know, north towards Appleton, and it'll just work its way into our bay. And out here, we'll have white caps. But if it's any other direction, from the west, which it is normally, you know, from the south, we have a beautiful, quiet bay to land in. It's nice and easy. We do have an alternate landing location, though. About 5 miles south of here, it's a place called Warbird Island. And Warbird is actually an IFR reference point and a VFR visual checkpoint. And that actually faces southwest. So in the rare case, we have that northeast wind that causes waves in our bay. We actually have a little bay, a little crescent, on the southwest corner of Warbird, where people can still land in the lee of that island, land in nice, quiet water. And we just have towboats that go out there and help them moor, and bring their luggage in, and they can bring their planes later to the base, or they can just leave it there for the week.
I was at Wentz's on the lake the other day, and guess what? A beautiful view right out their window of
Warbird Island.
Yeah. And your buoy's there.
That's right.
And there was about four seaplanes tied up out there.
Yeah, that's true. And it was the exact conditions that we're talking about happened, what, Monday, Shane?
Yeah, it was Monday, yep.
And it worked out pretty well. You know, we had drivers and a towboats down there to help them out there more. Yeah,
We take our concierge service even off base in situations like that. We really do. Our ultimate goal here is to make sure that our guests that are flying in here have the best experience at EAA.
So we got a couple minutes. Tell us this concierge service. If you buoy out at Warbird Island, how do they get here?
So when they get in the area, this is, by the way, in the notice, they'll have a procedure that's there. It's actually directs you to the website to get a full details with pictures from up above, from Google Earth. And once they talk to the point, we'll know they're going to Warbird Island. We'll immediately send a driver down there, or a boatman or a boat driver, to pick them up. And we keep boats down at those restaurants you talked about. Ours are at TJ's, not far from Wentz.
Yep.
And they know they're coming. They know what color. They know the number of souls on board, how much luggage. And we're ready to get them. We'll be down there about the time they're getting ready to turn off their engine.
Wow, that's impressive.
It's an incredible addition, and it's not an addition. It's something that we've been doing for almost 30 years now. The thing that changed, though, is we actually used to take a boat out of the seaplane base, and we would drive that 5 miles through the rough waters. Now, with the switch of protocol, it's a shorter ride for pilots. It's a much safer ride for our volunteers. And again, it's that, hey, welcome to Oshkosh.
Yeah,
you made it.
It's
thanks
awesome.
For being here.
Well, Don, thank you for explaining a little bit behind the scenes and what goes on here, nuts and bolts, at the seaplane base. And Shane Albers, thanks once again for co-hosting and
thanks for coming
having us at your beautiful paradise out here at the seaplane base. JMIG, that wraps up On the Fly for 2024. A lot more action going on at AirVenture, though, with all kinds of excitement this afternoon. Night Air Show tonight on Mainfield. And then, of course, another fantastic show tomorrow. So we'll see you next year, 2025, On the Fly. J. Mon G signing off. You're listening to EAA Radio.